It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to another special edition of Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, we're in Lancaster, New Hampshire, up near the Canadian border, and at Rogers Campground for Porcupine Freedom Festival, followed by Fork Fest. We're already getting filled up here, and it doesn't even start till like this afternoon. So it's going to be a packed year. I think everybody's all COVID-ed, packed in and done with that, and they want to go out and breathe some air. So they're going to – a lot of people is coming, a lot of friends, a lot of people we haven't seen for a while. So it's filled up already, and we'll start tomorrow. We'll start having, like, I don't know, coffee and pastries or something like that here every morning. So that'll go well, and we'll have a lot of people to interview. But one of the people that we definitely wanted to get caught up with is Matthew Raymer. Matthew Raymer is CEO of ContentSafe.co. You know, he's a developer leading a team of coding design specialists, and it's been his passion for the last 20 years. It's not always an easy business environment, you know, especially him being in where in the Philippines are you, Matt?
Northern Luzon. I'm about 10 hours north of Manila.
10 hours north of Manila? I didn't know there was 10 hours worth of land north of Manila.
So, oh my goodness. It's like it would take you an entire 24 hours to go by road from the southernmost tip of Luzon to the northernmost tip.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you realize the whole country is about 1,000 miles from top to bottom.
Okay, well, that's a little further than I thought, you know, and then, of course, it's not all one continuous landmass,
no.
Is it?
Or, no, you know, it's ocean, 7,000 islands.
Yeah, damn, and some of them not even occupied. We have a friend that was Filipino that was there in IT space, and we were like, man, as soon as you guys can get some kind of property right thing, and it's mine, I want a beach, you know? So, and that's one of the things they were looking at doing, blockchain land deed kind of stuff. They were working on digitizing the country, and but the corruption is so bad that it wouldn't matter anyway, you know. So,
as I like to say, anarchy's built into the Filipino DNA.
By, you know, no other option,
right?
You know,
just, right. No other option. Exactly.
I got this here 50 caliber. That's what says what. Okay. So this has been, let me see, looking at the bio here, alternative ways of interpreting what you see happening around you, giving you a new pair of lenses to see more options through those lenses. I've been able to survive for 25 years in a highly competitive and sometimes hostile environment. I would have suffered if I had struck with a singular interpretation based on amount, whatever, you know, you're writing a novel. But, you know, the point is that you've made a home in the Philippines where you have access to coders. I mean, why are you there?
Well, you know, it just comes down to family. I met a Filipina whenever I was still in graduate school, and I came here to get married, and we just never left. We just never left, and it's been like survival mode ever since. You know, like I had a degree in physics, mathematics, and computer science. There's a heck of a lot of stuff you can do with that. And I had a huge network back in the States, so it was easy to get involved in outsourcing really early on before it was a major thing here. And I just grew with the country because whenever I came here in 95, there was no internet in 95. By 96, we had dial-up like we used to have in the 80s in the U.S. And by the end of the 90s, we had pretty decent dial-up internet. By the early 2000s, we had DSL. I picked up fiber about 6 years ago, and I'm just signed up for a 1 gigabit line that should be installed by July sometime.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging this Starlink thing. Friend Derek brought a Starlink, and they kind of geo-position you. You're not allowed in your zip code kind of thing. And so you put it on the RV. They haven't opened it up for that. Because what they're doing is they have limited satellites up, so they're kind of limiting. We're already full here. You can't get any more until we get more satellites. Mm-hmm. And so when you move it, and he went 3.5 hours away, it didn't work. So he had to go in and change his address. And he goes, I am now located here, which was close enough that it would work. And then we're up that 160 megabyte up down,
awesome. Kind
of, and then a mesh network of. We've been doing here for 13 years, and every year it sucks. And he's been doing – he had a microwave to a mountain one time, had a deal, and then the local guy that was selling the internet here to the campground complained. And, but I go, yeah, well, you get something that works, then, we wouldn't have to do this. But so now that he's gone to Starlink and got it hooked up, it's whiz banging, but it'll cut out about every, for 20 seconds, every 5-10 minutes or something as the satellites are positioning. So if you're doing something like an interview like this, it doesn't work. If you're, buffering and watching movies or something, then you're fine. Mm-hmm. But, it's getting a lot better and it's going to go global. The same ones that do North America here probably are the ones that cover in the Philippines. So
yeah. Yeah,
it's going to be a thing. I just wait to see how far up Uncle Sam's butt Elon is. We'll find out about that.
All the way up to the large intestine, our small intestine.
Well, I'm glad to see we get the internet and communication is getting a lot better, and we got a good future with that. But the kind of restrictions and censorship and so on, it's kind of what you and I are going to talk about today. Now, content safe, we talked about this before, and you've been involved in the IPFS, Interplanetary File System, and how that's working, and you're certainly have a use for that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, but tell us about content safe.
Well, simply put, content safe is a content redistribution service. So we take content published in one place and we distribute it to over a dozen different platforms. And we're growing every week. We're adding 1 to 2 new platforms a week.
Well, if I were to use content safe, I'm trying to, what we're doing, and we're getting closer all the time, and some features already come on, and we have a big Pirate Box contest that we're going to be announcing winners at Jackalope in Arizona the first weekend in August. And we're revealing it here. We're doing Black Market Fridays. Corbett and I are really going to be pushing that starting July 2nd. And there's a lot of things going on. But IPFS, kind of what we were looking to do is we put content up on our own IPFS nodes and servers. We pin it out to, audience and friends and people that are on our network. And the platforms pull from there. Instead of me watching little spinning wheels for the rest of my life and on 15 gazillion different platforms, we just put it up and Float's going to pull the information, the metadata, the title, summary, and so on, and then, link to a hash that will have the media content. So they are loving this because they don't have to buy a bunch of servers. I mean, they're going, cool. We vote that, let's do that. And so that makes the people, the internet 3-point kiss our butt. Now, what Content Safe does is that, and I want to make sure I get this right. If I was to load a single video, a file, a content producer creates media and loads it to Content Safe, then you have the actual storage. I guess the provider would have a backup, but you get the data and then you're distributing it to all these various different platforms as a service, right?
That's right. We kind of are the bridge to, or the last mile to IPFS in a way, because we're providing a means, like whenever we consult with a content creator now, the first words out of my mouth are, have you heard of IPFS? Because I'm telling the content creators, why don't you start posting your videos first on IPFS, and then we'll grab it off of IPFS and put you over on Minds and BitChute, and if you want, you could go on Vimeo or one of those terrible platforms.
How in the hell are you doing that? And it being, you know, especially when you get busy, you're not sitting, you got a special back door or something? I mean, how am I, you're not watching spinning hourglasses for the rest of your life?
Well, see, it's all automated. this is a pretty well architected, I have to say, it's my architecture, that it does everything through automation. We use a variety of different technologies depending on whatever's the easiest or most efficient for the particular platform, because some platforms, they're, you can write them one way, and another platforms, you have to write them a different way. And we've just established a set of patterns that work on almost all the platforms. Okay. The only ones that are the most difficult are the big tech ones like YouTube, and I just don't upload to YouTube.
Yeah,
I download from it, but I don't upload to it. So,
yeah. Donna, go ahead and get the speakers. I don't want them to hear, you know, Matt. I want to talk. This is you're going to need a splitter. What I wanted to do is get Mike involved in here in a little bit, because what I'm looking at is there's a use case that we have to where I'm tired of chasing platforms all the time, and they get compromised, they get censored, they get bought out, they get, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. I go, no, we're developing to where we load our stuff to our, the people's worldwide kiss our butt 3.0 servers or whatever.
And the way it should be.
Exactly. Thank you. And then it gets pulled from that to go on platforms. Now, if you're going to be the, here, plug it in here. Today. Hold on a second, Matt.
Sure.
Just do it. On. Okay, you got me, Matt?
Gotcha.
Okay, there we go. Now, what we're going to do is I wanted to... Why? Nope. It's got power. The what I wanted to do is let's talk about the how we're going to be doing this. I wanted to plug in the speaker so they're starting to build an audience here so everybody can hear. Now, what I wanted to do was talk about how the internet is going to evolve and the content providers and what they can do to not be deplatformed and censored and surveilled and all this other stuff. And one of the ways is that if you have your own IPFS node, which we have the pirate boxes, Thomas is up here. We got some examples. I was at the Greater Reset in Austin playing with that, and it seems pretty damn freaking simple. So, we go ahead and load up a file, and it could have metadata in there. And I knew this could happen because, you know, our experience over the years of testing it out, and we're doing like James Corbett. Well, Corbett's site just looks the same on IPFS as it does somewhere else, which also includes Archive and Minds and Library and or Odyssey and, you know, and the MP4 downloads and everything. And so he has, you know, a central place you can go and get all the methods by which you can view the content, but it also pulls the title and the summary and all that stuff over. So if I set up a file that you have access to my IPNS is how you're doing it, the naming system, are you going to a static address? Are you pulling individual files? How's the interface with Content Safe?
Oh, we can just use a IPFS library for Python. And we can, if we've got the correct hash codes, we can just grab the files as long as we know where the folder's at and we can enumerate what's on the folder. I mean, it's that simple. Or if you wanted to, you could just submit the hash to us and we pull the file. Really just
okay,
that simple.
So are you keeping a copy of the page or are you doing a just a file and the hash is listed somewhere? I mean, or do you have a platform or just all of a sudden it shows up on some platform and then I got to take that and embed it into my site? How does it work?
Well, there's basically we work with only video and the metadata for a video. So if let's take, for example, the old school way of YouTube. Someone gives us a YouTube channel. We grab the videos off of the channel, and then we have a ledger of where they need to go to. And with each one, we just send the file and the metadata, title, description, tags, and it gets uploaded to the account over on Minds. Now, of course, with Minds, there's a little glitch. They've just recently blocked videos over 21 minutes. So what we would do in that case is we would just put an iframe into the Minds post and link it to, say, Odyssey as another platform. Or maybe even if we could do an embed to IPFS, we might actually just do an embed to the IPFS file itself.
Okay, now think about that. That's one of the questions that we had as we bring it over. We're working with Kingsley and Aaron from Float will be here. And we've been talking for quite a while. And I, Chuck and Alex is their TO technical guys. And I'm going, all right, I have a profile on Float. The information would go over to have a title and Ernie Says or whatever and the guest, and it has all that listed. And then there'd be a link, you know, a hash that goes to the media file on IPFS. Now, you're saying that you can take that and have some kind of embed? That's a possibility with IPFS?
It's a possibility, yeah, because all an embed really is just an iframe on a page. And a lot of these browsers can read IPFS from the get-go. Like over in Fura or Cloudflare or one of those other third-party IPFS networks.
Okay, so there is already an IPFS embed iframes, or it could be?
I think it could be. I haven't actually seen one yet, but I can't imagine why you couldn't do it.
Okay, I got to ask Mike while he's sitting over there talking to somebody. Mike, okay, real quick question. Can you have an embed from IPFS file? Can you create?
Absolutely, I've done it.
Absolutely, he's done it. Boom, done.
See, like I said, I can't imagine why you couldn't do it. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Okay. So all right. See, we're blazing new ground here. Okay. So,
well, see, Ernie, you know what I see is that we started talking about this 2 years ago. IPFS has been around for like 6 years or more, and actually, we're at the point right now where it is imminently practical for a content creator to publish their work and have complete control over it via IPFS. They don't even need a pirate box.
Reason we developed that was to make it to where it was easy, it was plug and play, it was grandma just button. But one of the other things is it allowed us to have a Liberty library to where, you know, now that you got, I have a SD card that's 1 terabyte. Are you freaking kidding me?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, remember when we were young and a terabyte on a freaking postage stamp? That is
just unimaginable, right?
Unfreaking imaginable. I remember somebody had 2 gigs in the early 90s a big giant bunch of wall of computers.
Yeah, I remember when hard drives were 100 MB.
This is phenomenal. So that. Now back then we're talking, oh my God, we can send a picture, you know. Now it's like hour long videos.
And all it wasn't an ASCII characters.
Right. So I'm
but you know that I'm totally on board with the idea of bundling up IPFS into a little node. That's a great idea, and it's not only because it makes it easier for the content creator to get involved, it also is a platform for other technologies.
Well, the big thing, there's some coming up. I don't know if you're up to speed on the embassy and so on with Start 9 Labs. Were you paying attention to that on the?
I've actually talked to Alex a bit about it, but that's about all I know.
Okay, this is what we're looking at. We went to Float Fest, which was, I don't know, a couple months ago in east of Austin. And as we're hanging out there, a guy comes up and he goes, I've been a listener for 4 years or so. I know what you're doing, and I'm the social media marketing go-to-the-festival guy for Start 9 Labs, which are Raspberry Pis that they have as a poor interface for being a personal server. And what it was designed, it's called the Embassy, and what it was designed to do is that I can plug and play it anywhere above the ceiling tiles at the Starbucks of Wi-Fi, from the Walgreens of whatever. And as long as I have an internet connection, it has, I guess, a static IP of some kind that you can save all your files, all your stuff. It's like a personal Dropbox somewhere on the internet. And I'm going, okay, that's cool. But it's kind of like a lot slower because it's hopping around on Tor and you know, and it's got limitations, but it's inexpensive. It kicks butt and they can provide fulfillment or the pirate boxes. So I'm going, you know, are we going to have to be lining them up and sitting there and loading them all the time and so on, and having nested images on the cards and putting in and packaging and mailing. And I go, yeah, does somebody else do that? Well, Start 9 Labs already has it. And what they've said, they go, no, we're with you. We understand what you're doing. We want to be part of. And we can make to where their Play Store, their App Store, will have the pirate box software. So that you just go in, click on their applications, and boom, you're using it. So it's a, because I'm going, well, can it overlap? And then they started using geek words like, what do they call them, containers, you know, that you have, you know, it does this and that, whatever. Anyway, the answer is yes, okay? So I go, all right, cool. Well, let's do that. Well, working with this guy, these guys, you know, just saw one big giant thing that Corbett and I have been concerned about is once we pull the trigger and say, okay, go get it, you know, they got to provide it. I mean, you know, somebody's got to ship them. So we have that taken care of, but then that's where you come in, and we're at the time to where we need to start talking to Matt. Now, what I wanted to do is, hang out, Mike. I want to, you know, you get in on this. All right, let me switch this to the, guys, there a way I can do the speaker? Donna, in my bag, there is a little splitter, and it has like two comes out with one goes in for headphones. And it's in one of the front pouches in my black bag. And that way I can do the headphones and the speaker here. Mike can listen, or we can do, and bring another set of headphones so we can split and then Mike can hear. Now, what I want to do is be able to get a pirate box to someone, and it has the Liberty Library. So we've been saving a lot of content providers that we know they're going to go after. You know, of course, we started with ourselves and James Corbett and so on. But there are a lot of others. And Mike here has been just downloading like a bastard. You know, he's getting all these different. We just did Geoffrey Griffin had the Red Pill Expo in Rapid City, South Dakota. I think it was like a sixth one that he's done around the country. And it was a great conference. That was probably, I sat in the seat actually listening to speeches more at that thing for 2 days than any other I've been to. I mean, I'm always out network, got a table, dicking around, whatever. And I'm going, man, that was good. And that's good. And I want to listen to that. It was awesome. So, you know, we had dinner with G. Edward, and Mike is working with him on platforming the IPFS, Red Pill University, Red Pill Expo, all the video presentations. And you're about downloaded just about everything, aren't you? He keeps finding more. So
it never ends.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is G. Edward, being 91 years old, does all his webmaster IT because he got tired of waiting on everybody. He goes, I'm a smart guy, which he is. He goes, I can do it. So he did. So we're going to get him hooked up. But it's just another great example of what we're talking about. We have this material on there, and we put it on external drives or, you know, terabyte SD cards. So you get a 2 terabyte external drive on a Raspberry Pi on one of these embassies. Then you have all of the Liberty content. You get Freedom's Phoenix. You get Corbett. You get Conscientious Resistance. You get, you know, We Are Change. You know, the list goes on and on and on. All these people, you know, we have Dale Bigtrue, The High Wire, all Mikovits stuff. I mean, a lot of these guys are going after. And what Mike has been doing is loading up, you know, Lou Rockwell and Dr. McCullough, and it goes on and on and on. Well, these guys, would you get their permission? We just did it. So this is a, we're looking forward to having this kind of interface with someone like ContentSafe, because I'm done with jerking around with all these other platforms. So if we were to do this, and one of the benefits is that you have IPNS, you know, the naming system, the static pages for a lot of these things, and you go, okay, well, the audience gets a pirate box, and it already comes preloaded with all of our stuff, and it adds to it, so they become a node. And it and the faster that it's, the more often that it's used, it doesn't slow down the network, it gets faster. And as we have, so that's what Corbett and I are promoting. When we get this ready, we go, okay, get it. They come with the latest, you know, updates of all these different sites, and then they serve it, and it never goes away. It's that's why it's so robust. Now, but that explanation, so the audience kind of understands what we're doing. ContentSafe, if you were to feed into that, you provide the service by which you could platform an interface from the IPFS. So we're not having to do 15 gazillion downloads. I'm limited bandwidth on a bus. I don't want to sit there and watch spinning wheels for the rest of my freaking life. I don't want to get divorced because my wife producer is like, hell, I'm tired of reloading this. You know? So we put that up on an IPFS node, and you're part of it. You access it. You can replatform that material onto any and everything of somewhere else, right?
Right. And you know, it's cool that we're getting this tech out, but it's going to take a while for this to go mainstream. Okay. So
one, you're confusing me if somebody gives a crap about mainstream. But the thing is, I just need it to work. So you're saying, you know, when you say it take a while, well, I'm old, man. I'm 60. A while to me means 20 years. So what are you talking about?
I'm thinking, you know, we've actually talked about this, I think, with Float. What's the breakaway number? How many people in the U.S. would it take for this to become so like, hey, I know what that is. I want one. And I suspect it's probably a few million people. And at that point, everybody wants one because they see the benefit in having it. Well, the way we get there is we take these platforms, which are popping up all over the place. There are tons of alternative platforms for video. If we could leverage IPFS to make sure that the content creators keep control of their content, I think that this is going to speed up the process. Maybe we could get within a half a decade, maybe 5 years, we could have everybody rolling.
Yeah, 5 years is to save the planet. Well, I'm for getting started. You know, what up? All right, here, talk to Mike. I got to go look for a splitter, but, you know, what you just said, I want to make sure that you and Mike are on the same page on what is necessary for us to already we have our library content and so on. And we do, you know, it goes to you, you're pulling it, you're replatforming. What's necessary for that? You're saying, well, it's going to take time. What does? What? I got Mike right here. He'll do it tomorrow. You know, right, Mike? Yep. Now done. Waiting on you now. Okay. Hold on. Yeah. All right. Go ahead and talk to him.
Howdy.
Hey.
Yeah, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Good. Good.
I didn't really
hear any of the conversations, so you'll have to kind of bring me up to speed.
What Ernest and I were talking about is what I would need for my company to take video published on IPFS and get it to a dozen or two dozen different video platforms. And as I see it, really all I need are probably two hashes on IPFS for every video. I need one hash that points to the video file, and I need another hash that points to a metadata file, something that has a title, description, tags.
Okay.
If I've got that, I got everything I need.
Okay. Well, the video files, it's easy already. You simply, I say simply or anything like that. But anyway, you add it to IPFS. Like, let's say I have a video on my computer and I want to put it on IPFS. Well, the first thing I have to do is add it to my IPFS node. And it's IPFS add command. And so once I've done that, it exists on my node and nowhere else. Then I have to let somebody else know about that file and give them a hash or a hash address so that they can access it. And then after they access it, they're essentially downloading it to their node or to their browser if they're using a browser. But in the process of doing that, the pathway that the data took across the distributed network, it leaves copies of itself. Not full copies, but bits and pieces scattered all over the place. And every time that file is accessed from anywhere, more copies emerge. So let's say that Ernie uploads a video, and we'll just talk about the video now and not the metadata. Then if you access it to upload it to a platform, it's just as if you imported a MP3 or an MP4 file from anywhere else. You have the URL or the hash, you just import it. And now it's, you know, part of whatever you're doing on your machine. You can add it as a link instead of actually importing it yourself. You can embed it. If it's an audio, really with audio, the easiest thing to do is just use the HTML audio embed.
Well, you know what? I think probably the easiest way for us to do this.
Can you hear me? I think it got quiet.
Yeah. No, I hear you. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
All right. He wasn't responding.
No, I had to put a splitter in so we both have headphones, so we're good.
Okay. So you're still there?
Yeah. I'm thinking that maybe the best solution for us on our side is for us to pin whatever.
Quiet when you plug something in there.
Okay, hold on. Can you hear that?
Hello?
I can
hold on a second, Matthew. He's
okay. And now I can hear it, but I've got a whole lot of other noise too.
Okay. I saw what's wrong with this splitter. It's fine. Just go ahead and finish your conversation.
Yeah, I think that there's maybe
got a lot of noise coming through. A lot of sound.
Hold on a second.
Yep.
There.
Okay, thanks.
Cool.
Sorry, I lost you there for a bit.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
You got to get up closer.
Okay.
Got to get up closer.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You hear me fine?
Can I turn these down a little bit? Okay. All right. Well, okay. So you've accessed the file, and you've put it in a platform. Now then, every time anybody accesses that, you do not have to have that file local to your platform. You're simply providing a hash address to the IPFS network, and it's being accessed each time from the IPFS network.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does that, it creates more and more and more copies. So if it gets accessed a lot, it actually gets faster. And so that's really kind of how it works. Now, the metafile data would be exactly the same, except just a smaller file, and then you have to come up with some kind of an arrangement with whoever's providing the content as to what you need in that metafile.
Well, it would probably be just as simple as a little JSON, title, description, date, because we would like to have a way of sorting through files. My question, which I think I know the answer to, is I know that IPFS is basically a flat file, right?
Right. It is just a file storage system. It has no server-side processing. You're just accessing files is all you can do with IPFS.
So we would need a way of knowing what new files were being published. That's our main thing.
Yeah, here's how you do that. One of the things about IPFS is, let's say you have a website and you're publishing content. That website, let's say it's all in one big folder. Every time anything, even a period, changes anywhere in that site, the top level hash for that entire website changes. So in order to get around that problem of having a static address to access, there's a thing called the interplanetary name system. And there's a different set of hashes called IPNS hashes. And that's a static hash address. And every time the publisher publishes, then they tell the they issue a command that says, okay, the IPNS hash now addresses to this new IPFS address or hash instead of the old one. So on your end, in order to determine if there's been a change, you can do a thing. It's a resolve command. And so you do a resolve on that IPNS hash. And if there's been any change, any update on the website, then the underlying IPFS hash will change, and then you know you need to go in and grab the new stuff.
Cool. So could we possibly use this to, like, keep a ledger that could be updated of all the stuff or that's on their node? Maybe that would be another way to do this.
There could be a index or a map or whatever you agree on with the content provider that makes it easiest for you to be able to go into their site on IPFS and quickly identify what's changed.
Cool. Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, well, it's as simple as that for us. If we have some mechanism to get updates, we can do it.
Yeah. And see, you can just poll it, you know, just poll that IPNS, a resolve on it every, you know, minutes or hours, whatever makes sense.
Right.
And then if that IPFS hash underlying it changes, then you go in and you look at whatever means you've agreed to identify the change and grab it. You know, I mean, it could be a JSON file. It could be a map of the site. It could be a listing of the videos, just whatever you agree with the publisher. Now, the publisher doesn't understand what your needs are. It's far better if you provide them with some little piece of script or something where when they upload the video, they enter in some metadata. And probably what's going to happen is whoever the first platforms are that determine that, then the other platforms are going to end up having to follow suit because the publisher's not going to want to have to do it for every single platform. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And I think this is one of the other nice.
It's,
can you hear me?
Dead.
It's dead. Okay. Well.
Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry. Did you hear all that? The last bit that I said?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
You've been uninterrupted.
Okay, I lost audio on this end for a moment.
No problem. Okay. I think this is another one of the beauties of having, say, a Pirate Box or some other sort of boxed solution, because then the scripts could be integrated right into that.
Right. Yep. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, this is really cool tech.
Yeah, now the pirate boxes, the way they're set up now, they're being tailored as access point for information consumers primarily. Mm-hmm, but we have talked about a pirate box that's used by platforms, content producers as an interface. But the requirements, certainly there's going to be more file storage requirements, a larger drive basically. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, particularly for the content producers, it might actually end up needing more processing power than you can get on a Raspberry Pi. But so far I haven't run into that. I really think that the Raspberry Pi is going to have the Pi 4 with the 8 gigabytes of RAM, is going to have the processing power that's needed in all but a few cases, something like Lou Rockwell, for example. You know, he's been producing stuff for over 30 years, and, you know, his site's got like over 800,000 files in it, you know. And so the Raspberry Pi kind of struggles with that. But the vast majority of websites, yeah, Pi can handle it.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I mean, I can imagine ways that you could make that work.
Yeah.
With a Pi.
Yeah, maybe you bring them up, or maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Network them in the box. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, a lot of that comes down to the data structure you're using for indexing.
Right.
So, yeah, that's really cool stuff. I'm very excited about it. I know I've currently got a budget to buy about two or three Raspberry Pis here for various functions, not just IPFS. But
yeah. Well, be sure you get the Pi 4 because it's got the best processor. And also get the 8 gigabytes RAM, which is the biggest RAM load you can get currently on a Pi.
Yeah. What have you heard about the Orange Pi?
Nothing.
I saw something about an Orange Pi the other day.
Yeah.
Not being so you were on the panel on the Greater Reset with me, weren't you?
Actually, I was, yeah. Yeah,
I was thinking so. Got me. You know, you were the person who got me convinced about Pirate Chain.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was a steal right now.
Oh, yeah. It's dirt cheap right now.
Yeah.
But I was very skeptical until I heard your presentation, and then I did some more homework, and I was really impressed. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, I'm excited about it, man. I'm a big Pirate fan, and the Pirate Chain guys have got, I think, four or five lots together here for this thing. So I'm really looking forward to going over and finally meeting those guys. Cause we've, you know, visited and done Discord stuff but never actually met.
Sure. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. They don't know me from Adam. So, but you can say that there are other people out there that are really interested.
Yeah.
And I don't buy into the whole, there's a lot of, you know, propaganda out there against the guys, and I think that really sucks. But I guess if you're getting near the target, you get the flak, right?
Well, not only that, people fear what they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real easy to fear something like ZK snarks, because there's only like a small handful of mathematicians in the world who even understand how that works. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing technology. And, you know, it's also for pirate communications, because when I attach a memo to a transaction, which only costs me a thousandth of an R to transmit, mm-hmm. only you and I ever see that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when the recipient of the message receives it, unless you tell them who it is, they don't even know who they got it from. You know?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, I've been a fan of Monero since it came out years ago, and to see something that eclipses Monero, it's very joyous to me.
Yeah. And the pirate chain guys, they'll be the first ones to say they're not here to compete with Monero. The world needs Monero. It needs R. We need a bunch of these things.
Well, I feel the same way about
for it to be.
You know, it's the same thing about crypto in general. There's really no need for anybody to feel like I was on a panel with some people who were Bitcoin maximalists. Like, I don't really feel like I should, like, you're my enemy. I like Bitcoin. I like Lightning Network, but there should be room for thousands of these different tech. And, you know, if you look at the way development really works, development doesn't work by piling 10,000 developers on a problem. Right. That's not the way it works.
It's much more Darwinian than that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we are seeing here. We're seeing hundreds of teams that are coming up with different solutions to different problems, and then these things get mixed back in. Same thing's going to happen with this IPFS tech. There's going to be something that'll be better at some point.
Yeah, I mean, there's other projects already, you know, and so it's going to grow, and the things we learn in IPFS environment, you know, there's going to be things like, for example, two-way communications, you know, websites that have like a member sign in or member sign up or comments or anything that requires information sent back to the server isn't possible with IPFS today. And so that's an important hurdle. You know, if somebody can crack that nut and figure out how to have.
That's why we want to get Saheed up here. You know, I think he's going to be able to. He's in Baltimore, and we're trying to get him up here to work on those very things.
Yeah. So, you know, there's challenges, you know, and I fight those every day. And, you know, unfortunately, people get expectations that we're further along than we are. And but I don't want to discourage people by saying, well, we can't do that yet. But I also think it's important that the people out there with the skills understand what our challenges are, because somebody, and you never know who it's going to be, is going to come along and say, oh, yeah, here's how you solve that. And boom, it's done, you know. And so and then that's the next big thing. And you just never know
and that's
where it's going to happen.
You know, that's why, like, whenever I had more time, one of the things I used to do was just cruise through. There are lists of new projects out there. If you want to stay on top of this stuff, you just cruise a couple hours a week through projects and see, hey, well, man, maybe you could apply this tool over here that these guys are working on to this particular problem.
Right.
And we need room for people like that, that maybe they're not really developers, but maybe they have the vocabulary, the conceptual, they understand the concepts, and they just talk about this stuff. And I think there's room for people like that as well as the actual developers.
Sure. Well, I'm not a developer. You know, in fact, I didn't do any coding for like over two decades. I mean, I learned to code on punch cards, you know.
Oh, wow.
And so this is all very new to me, but nobody else was doing it. It needed to be done. So I'm an engineer. It's like, well, okay, well, let's do this thing. And then you need to dig in. And
I can read.
Yeah, exactly. And so and it's like Pirate Chain. You know, I happened across Pirate Chain. Actually, I guess it was back in 2020 or mid-2020. And I was really impressed with the project, and I started kind of keeping my thumb on the pulse. And then by the end of 2020, it was like, oh, man, I got to get on board. And then I noticed, well, there wasn't any good information out there to help people learn how to set up a wallet and how to buy their first R. And it's like, well, okay, and there's a need. So I did it. And next thing I know, there's a bunch of people that I know that are buying R. Now they're all real happy because it's gone up a whole bunch. And
yeah, from 23 cents. And I was pissed off because it took me a whole freaking day to figure it. And it went from 16 to 23. You know, so, but now we're doing good.
Yeah. And it's going to, it'll recover. You know, the markets are down for a while, but I suspect we're going to see something compatible with either Zcash prices or maybe even top level Monero prices at some point. So
I expect that the market cap of R is eventually going to exceed Monero by a margin. And that's because of its additional utility. And that means a price of,
something over 40, maybe 50 U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's today's U.S. dollars, of course, is the rate they're printing them. God only knows. I mean,
right.
It's going to infinity.
Yep, and beyond. Yeah. I think at one point, didn't Monero reach 400 or 500 during the spike?
Yeah, and there are 10 times as many R that will be issued as Monero.
Okay. Yeah, they have that much supply.
Yeah, and that's the limit.
Cool. Yeah. So no inflation.
Right. Yeah, there's a set limit, and then after that, it's just fees, transaction fees.
That's well worth keeping in mind. I've heard there's a halving coming up.
Yeah, they do have ever so often. I'm not sure when the next one's going to be.
I think I heard it was August or something like that, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah. Exciting stuff, man. It's a great time to be alive, And
well, I don't know. I detect you might be a little bit older than me, but I'm in my 50s.
Yeah. I'm just a pup. I'm 63.
Cool. Well, then you saw the space race, right?
I actually was a rocket engineer for a while, a rocket scientist.
Ah, see, yeah. Well, one of the I'm from a little bit later, so I experienced some of the aftershock of that. So whenever I was a kid, I dreamt about space, and the first thing when I got my degree in physics, my initial desire was propulsion systems. Right. That's what I wanted to do. Ended up in solid state, but
okay.
I got to experience the PC revolution. I got to experience the internet revolution. Now I've gotten to experience the crypto revolution. I was talking to a young kid in his 20s the other day, and he was talking about, well, things are great. I said, you know what? This is absolutely the most exciting time. I've experienced all that other stuff. Right. This is the most exciting. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funny. The reason it's exciting is because of the challenges that we face. If we didn't have challenges, we wouldn't see these advances. So,
for sure.
It's funny. People go, the state, the state's bad, and we'd be a lot better off without them. But, the pressure they create is causing us to get better faster.
Yep. I agree with that 100%, even though I don't like what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, I'll be glad when they're gone. I'm looking forward to the day,
We might not get to see it in our life, but...
I think we will.
Well, that is definitely scary.
These things go in cycles, and this cycle is long in the tooth.
Yeah, that's true. About 12,000 years long in the tooth.
Yeah. Have you ever read... The Fourth Turning by Strauss and Howell. And they go into an 80-year cycle, four generations, and how things essentially repeat over time, but they rhyme. They're not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. I'm into cycles as well. There's the solar cycles that extend thousands of years. Yeah. And you got the Younger Dryas, right? About 12,000 to 14,000 years ago.
And I haven't gone back that far.
Wow, that was whenever the Ice Age ended,
right?
And we're like right at the end of that cycle.
Yeah, so. There's some interesting cycles coming together right now, not just societally, like you say. Solar and all kinds of other things,
Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. This is a time of great change.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting on the Fourth Turning aspect. If you go back 80 years from now, let's see, it's 2021, so that would be 1941.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on? What was the world like? And what were the parallels with what we have today? Okay, so then go back 80 more years. 1861, coming out of the Civil War. or in the Civil War. Anyway, but you know, or I guess it wasn't the Civil War. It was the war for Southern independence. And a time of crisis, a time that left the world, our world, this in this region, completely changed from what it was before, just like World War II did. 80 years before that, that would be 1781, coming out of the American Revolution, the formation periods of this country, still a period of strife and, you know, so every 80 years, this country goes through extraordinary, life-changing, society-changing events. And we're in that time now. And the events have not yet happened. They're going to change the character of our society, really, for much of the next four generations.
It's interesting. My family migrated from Germany right before the Revolutionary War. Or during it, we think we were Hessians. Yeah. And it is very resonant with me that I've been saying this for a decade. I feel something big is about to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't mean COVID.
No. That's just one little tap.
You know, I'm finally got to where I can hear while you guys are talking. We moved the studio outside under the canopy outside the bus, and we're still working out the bugs here. But you can tell by your conversation with Mike, you know, there's some guys here that know what's up. And I wanted to get from you in this conversation, Matt, is that, you know, if I give you a simple scenario, tell me how well you can accomplish this. You ready?
Okay.
What I'm looking for is to be able, as a content provider, to not have to do the platforming on one place. You invest a bunch of time and effort on it. Then they get woke, or they get bought out, or they are able, because it's centralized in some way, a hellfire missile finds a server farm of your duck. And
right.
We know that the DNS system is going to be vulnerable, because if they can, they will. And they're going to, when you have an IP that's behind whatever web page, and they just turn it off. And in 2003, when I first started doing radio, you know, I remember the entire country of Libya, they just turned off. And then they drug an anchor over a bunch of lines and shut off the India and Pakistan and Middle East, and they kind of, oops, and, you know, we severed it. So I'm going, if they can, when and at the most important time, when the information, the revolution, and the flash mobs and every kind of, and you're done. And they've done this all over the world on a regular basis, and dealing with China's firewall, U.S. is trying to emulate that already. We're going to get our social credit score of you're not allowed.
Well, so did it already. Back in February, they shut down a lot of the VPN traffic for deep packet inspection on the main
truck. Yeah, that was Rob Braxman. I had him on, and he was going, look, man, there's like 65,000 ports, and they're starting to deep dive on and find out which ones are VPN, and you're done, you know? And so us being able to use the IPNS, the naming system with a static page, the one problem that we're having, not necessarily a problem, and this is where Content Safe can come in, is that, you know, you don't have an interface with the site. And that's why we want to get Saeed up here, because he's got ideas about that and using crypto in the pirate box and all kinds of things that we can do. We're building a whole new internet on the idea and the concept of, you know, it's everywhere and nobody can censor it, shut it down, and it's a hash. And when you got your own naming system, you're using, you know, the trunk lines and the plumbing of ones and zeros, and you're done. So the one thing where MadeSafe comes in, I mean, I'm sorry, MadeSafe, the Content Safe comes in, is that we go, all right, I load up the IPFS that I have on the bus, and as it's connected, it will make it available and start pinning on remote servers like the Raspberry Pis, which is Corporate My Audiences. When we say get it, then they are additional nodes that automatically pin to right away, and they have all the old files loaded on the Liberty Library already, which is what, you know, Thomas Friedman's working on. So all these guys are going to be here this week. It's good that we got to talk to you, because now I'm wanting to add to that if we want to interface with the traditional platforms and so on, all the lame stream, whatever the hell they're calling it, that we can have our content pulled from our IPFS and go to MadeSafe, and you can platform that data onto these other platforms. Are you set up for that from IPFS? You can do it.
It can be done. I have not done it yet, and I would love an opportunity to use you as my first guinea pig.
Well, let's do it. You know, you got a lot of people that are ready to, you know, do this very thing. And if you're willing, well, you're on the Pirate Box project. If you're taking a look, you're seeing the development and how fast it's going. And if we can do a test market to where we give you the NS server name, however the hell that works, and you're pulling from that and then load up to some of these, like go to, I'd like to do Float and Odyssey, you know? So if we can do an Odyssey feed to where you're replatforming the content on the Odyssey and you offer that as a service, how much, what's your cost? How many billions of dollars we got to give Matt?
Well, I mean, for a guinea pig like yourself, I'd probably offer it for free. But for other people, we start at generally $50 per platform per month. And we have some special plans for people who want to give us extra money that we can do that for life. But we can talk about that one-on-one.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and plan on that. If after the end of the week or so on, and maybe through ForkFest and so on, we get this all done. What we can do is Mike and Thomas, and Saheed and Derek and the guys get with you, and we can do a test to where we load the content, it goes up, it gets platformed on Float with the title and summary and a link to the hash. Then we'll talk about embed. He's saying, you know, you're saying like embeds can be done.
Easy.
Yep. I heard the word easy. Okay. So we do that. And then that content, you take the same feed that Float would do. And then you offer the service for replatforming on these other ones. That's a possibility, right?
Well, you know, specifically Float embeds are really easy. I've done it before.
Okay, well, Kingsley's going to be here in a little bit, and we'll be talking to him. So this is all coming together from a need and a desire, and it doesn't exist. You know, we don't have the opportunity to just pick a service and do it now. We're building it as we go along, but with the main point that it's that information will always be available to anyone that knows the NS server. Like a good example, Corbett has on his site an IPFS interface, a banner ad. If you click on that, his site's duplicated somewhere. Well, if you get a Pirate Box, all that content gets added to your Pirate Box. It's pinned, and you become a node to distribute the information. Well, that's one thing I had to convince Corbett of. It took a year for him to know, if I tell my people to do it, it'll crash the servers, and I'm so big and bad and whatever, and I go, look, man, you can't outdo this services. That's the point. You know, the more you do it and promote it, the faster it goes. A year later, all of a sudden, it's faster than the World Wide Web, and he goes, what the hell? And I'm going, yeah, that's what I've been telling you, man. You know?
Yeah, like I said, you know, you got Cloudflare, you got Infura. What's that other one that is replicating the networks? This is big time now.
Well, now for the best part. Imagine having a free media server. IPFS is a free media server. That's what it is. And a lot of websites, that's their biggest cost, is a media server.
Exactly. And I can imagine there still being, you know, companies like Float using this as their backbone, and they just provide a community.
Yeah. Now, one thing, Matt, you could be doing, you know, we talked earlier about the metadata. And if a JSON file is involved, there's going to need to be some intermediate interface, because most people just aren't savvy enough to edit JSON files.
Something to fill it up.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a little Python interface, just something easy. I mean, it just be a grandma adjust button, as Ernie likes to put it, where they just pull it up, they type in the metadata or copy and paste the metadata, and then push a button, and they've created a metadata file, and then they upload that to IPFS, and maybe that's included. You know, that could be just an additional part of the Python script, you know, once it's published
in IPFS. If the person is publishing on WordPress, like, say, Corbett, and the API is turned on, you can get almost everything that's needed right out of the API.
Yeah, but I'm trying to talk people into leaving WordPress.
Oh, me too. We're brothers. Yeah, I hate WordPress.
I hated it.
I hate it.
I touched it years ago, and now I hate it worse.
Okay, well, that's the thing with Mike. You know, Eric and I are of the opinion that a lot of people have it on WordPress, the platforming of it. If you want them to get on, you're just going to have to grandma just put with WordPress just to get them over.
Well, you know, I can accept that they like WordPress and at the same time say that WordPress really sucks.
No, and then Mike makes this point every chance he gets. So what we're doing is we're trying to get it to where, like with Jeremy Griffin over at Red Pill, he understands. He's like, cool, man, whatever we need to do to make it permanent, because he knows how the game is played. He knows if they can, they are. So he's like, well, whatever it takes to where we can have this stuff permanent, because he's had to replatform and re-server and redo several of that, I'm done. You know, we don't want to do this anymore. So that's what we're offering. Now, what ContentSafe has available to us is that we set up this whole network in the overlap time, if we wish to be on these other platforms. That's a, you know, we could do it, and it's just more, I got a freaking, man, can I just pay somebody to do this? Well, ContentSafe. If you want to use this as an example to demonstrate what can be done, and when they do go after, it's honestly, they go, oh, they can't, you know, get them. The hell they can't. Are they a brick and mortar? Do they got, like, servers somewhere? Well, guess what's going to happen?
And, that was my I love Odyssey. I think they've done a great job, but that was my first objection to Odyssey whenever I saw them years ago. It's like, well, they're an LLC.
Right. And we've had that conversation with Jeremy, and I go, look, man, he goes, well, you know, you got VC investors and this and that, brick and mortar and, you know, corporation of whatever the hell. And I'm going, I understand. And if you use the library app, that kind of bypasses all this stuff, but not everybody does or even knows you need to. So it's when we have all of these traditional, I would say, on the Department of Defense's internet, what do you think was going to happen? You know, I'm thinking that the backup, and who does this better? And one of the reasons why, you know, Corbett and I have been doing a show weekly for years, and he understood the threat on this, which is why we used him as an example to develop this, along with Freedom's Phoenix and PiratesWithoutBorders.com and stuff. So when we did this, I'm going, look, you know, this is another mechanism by which, because what does he do? He puts up there, I'm on this channel, and of course they deplatformed on YouTube, but he goes, you know, I got Odyssey, I got mine, I got, you know, any and everything up there. But he also has the MP4 file for just download. You know, if you like this stuff, you're going to download it, because, man, they can get it. It'd be nice to have the file everywhere. Well, we copied everything on IPFS. So now he's put, that's one of the options. So regardless if they take down Odyssey, if they take down Mines, if they take down, you know, Flow, they take all these down, it doesn't matter, as long as you have that IPNS static page that you know where all this content is, which is what we're promoting. So, and I love QR codes, man. It's just a QR code. It'll take you right there, and you don't have to remember a freaking Bitcoin address, you know? And so this is where you come in, is that by providing this service of the interface with the content providers to make sure, all right, fine, we made it easy. God forbid you're on the road and you have the problems that we do. And you can load it onto your IPFS desktop right there, and it just automatically adds to your file, which is another thing that we've been working on, is that when you do a site, you got to run the entire, that's kind of what we started doing with Corbett. Every couple of weeks, we would run the entire site and reconstitute the whole thing again. But you want it set up where every time they add a file, it gets added to that list without having to process the whole freaking thing. And so that's what we're working on. We get that, and then to be able to go on these other sites. I still don't want to have to be, you know, watching spinning wheels, and then it breaks connection, it goes up, you're slow, you've got to just, it's a nightmare, me trying to drive around to get in 5G all the time or something. So screw that. And then we have Derek brought a Starlink up here and did a mesh network, and we're all rocking, man. You know, it's, I go, I want to get one of them, but they aren't making them to where they're broke free of a geographic area. So he had to, when he went from Maine to here, he had to change his address to where I live in this little town 10 miles away or something. Then it would work. But they're going to open it up sooner or later when they get more satellites to where it can go to boats, airplanes, and RVs. And that's what they're testing on their starships and so on. So I'm going, okay, you know, that's coming. Well, when we get the bandwidth, that means that rural America and mobile content providers, and which a lot of people are doing, they're getting mobile. And my RVs are freaking can't buy one. So it is, when you get rural America around the world, rural areas in the Philippines on a little island of nothing that can start providing content, content's going to explode. Because only really getting video from people in their perspective that are in the larger cities. Now, you may have some homestead guy out in the middle of the whatever, and he'll run the town and, you know, upload a video once a week or something like that. But once you have people really connected. You know,
the social changes that are going to occur are going to be unimaginable.
Well, we'll kind of leave it there. Is there any other questions you have, Mike? I'm glad Mike's here, you know, to help with, you know, it's done.
It's been fun.
One thing I'd like to describe for you and for the tech-oriented guys in the listening audience is the big challenge that we have right now with IPFS and WordPress in particular. Okay, WordPress is a dynamic content management system. And that means every time you access a page, it is created brand new for you right then. And so if you're importing an entire website, the importing program has no way to tell by the timestamp what is new and what is old. So you're forced to import the entire website. For Lou Rockwell, that means over 800,000 files every time you publish. It takes a week. And so there are static content management systems out there. And what they do is every time you make a change to the website, it recreates the HTML pages in a static form on the server so that every time a page is accessed, it's exactly the same page that was accessed by everybody else. And if they make a change to the site, the only pages that are changed are the ones that actually changed. Everything else still has an old timestamp. So if you use a static content management system, Lou Rockwell can do an update to his page and then publish it and only has to upload about 20 files instead of over 800,000 files. And that's the challenge. And I've been looking into this. Ramil Romani and I have visited about this. And he gave me the names of some static content management systems that he's kind of looked at. There's one called Gatsby. There's another one called Hugo. There's another one called Jekyll. And I've done a little bit of research on these. And it looks like maybe Gatsby might be the easiest one to actually convert a dynamic HTML.
We've actually taken Gatsby as our target platform over WordPress, and we've done it for like four sites so far.
And what about converting something like a corporate report from?
Well, you know what's so cool about this is if you use, there's a plugin for WordPress called WP GraphQL.
Okay.
It can interface with Gatsby directly because Gatsby likes to use GraphQL. You can get this interface to the WordPress API.
So basically, if a content creator, what content creators want is not the dynamically generated front end. They don't know anything about that. What they want is the WYSIWYG back end. So you could give a content creator what he wants, which is a WYSIWYG back end, and then replace it with a front end, which is Gatsby, which then you can manipulate the linkages to make it compatible with IPFS.
Cool. Cool. That's what we need. And we need somebody who can do that even as a service for these big websites like, you know, Anti-War, Lou Rockwell, Mercola, Corbett Report. I mean, all these are huge, huge websites. Mm-hmm. And updating them on IPFS is literally a week-long project.
And Freedom right. Phoenix is so big, they can't even do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of articles and videos and everything to interface with Freedom Phoenix that we up to like a terabyte, you know? So it's 2 terabytes? Okay, it's big, okay? So I'm looking at not sitting there for a week waiting for it to process, just add the new content, which is a lot. It's like 50, 70 articles a day. So it's we get Freedom Phoenix done. All these others are chump change, you know?
Well, the challenge with Phoenix is that it really was put together like piecewise. And do you guys have standardized templates at all for that?
What we did when we started in 05, it was PHP and it mm-hmm. was any code of, you know, I just wrote on a napkin, I want to do this, make it go work. Well, they mm-hmm. did it. You know, they go, well, it has to, and you got it in the streamline. I go, I don't give a crap. I pushed a button, it works, man. Make it go mm-hmm. work. So mm-hmm. when Derek started taking it over years ago, he was like, oh, my God, what the hell is this, you know? So mm-hmm. he kind of streamlines a little bit of the back end here, on the front page there, and we keep developing more and more. But I'm not so much, I haven't been really hard on developing the site to make it better on the traditional net. I don't care. I'm not, mm-hmm. I need to have this customized. So when we did PiratesWithoutBorders.com, that was set up with IPFS in mind. So if you mm-hmm. look at Pirates, you'll see it's a lot different configuration,
right?
But it faces with Freedom Phoenix. All those articles and so on. And when I peg, you know, the top tech news and different categories of communication, energy, and shelter, and food and water, and medicine, all that kind of stuff, I hit on my dashboard and it propagates over to Pirates, but it's all set up for IPFS for us mm-hmm. doing this. And as we get time, we would do Freedom Phoenix, but not until we get the IPFS thing taken care of. It's right. like, I gotta get the horse in front of the cart kind of thing, you know? And, yeah. you know, what you provide, and the reason I wanted you to come on and we maintain a relationship with you, because I knew that you understood the power of IPFS mm-hmm. and that you're using it to provide a platforming on all these other things from that. And it provides you the opportunity to do it without having to buy 5 billion trillion servers, you know?
Right.
And that's
right.
what Float is looking at. I'm going, look, I tell you guys, if you're able to pull from this instead of me loading, you're pulling from me. You do that from other content providers. You're not having to buy a freaking server farm. All the data and all the video and everything is on this 3-point kiss my butt internet of the people. And you just access it and you go, boom, you hit the embed or link, it pulls it in, you're done. And they mm-hmm. can't delete it. So this just that feature in mm-hmm. and of itself is what makes this head and shoulders above any and everything else, especially when you know they're coming after you to deplatform. So
well, I think there's a whole game changer here. And what I've been looking for is, you know, getting people on board, all these platforms on board to use IPFS or, you know, some other technology if they don't like IPFS, as long as it's something that's distributed and we can spread it across millions of people's homes, businesses, restaurants, whatever, it secures it. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because eliminating the expense of media servers is huge for these guys. And so mm-hmm. if Ernie can upload it to the interplanetary file system, not needing a media server, that is his media server, right. and then everybody else just pulls from that exact same file, boom, it's done. And him and Donna get to spend more time together.
Yay! You know, the I a lot less time of her complaining, I can tell you that. The and this is what Thomas is working on is this interface with the pirate box. And when we got Start Nine Labs with their embassy being able to do fulfillment, and then all they gotta do is download the library online. Get a good connection and boom, you're a node for everybody and everything you're trying to save. So that's what, you know, Mike has been spending a lot of time on. We got him a new computer to be able to do it and some power backup. So when his power goes out, all of a sudden he didn't lose a week of processing and everything. So we're developing, the mechanism for this really as a demonstration. And the demonstration that you can have, which is one thing that I'm really not interested in myself, is the replatforming and all these other places. But if you don't do that, a lot of content providers aren't going to see the benefit of IPFS. They need to we'll do IPFS. It works great. It's not central and everything. Oh, and by the way, Content's Safe provided the mechanism by which it replatforms and everything else easier than what we were doing it before. Well, shit, sign my ass up, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
And that's, we can do this. You'll work with us. And, you know, Mike's one of the guys, the freaking man, we got it going on. And Derek, you know, he's a super whiz bang on IPFS. And he's like, only call me when you really, really, really need me and I'll do it because I'm out bulldozing. I mean, you know, so all these guys are just a really good team that we put together. We're making a lot of advancements. Now, Richard Grove will be here and his autonomy guys have jumped all over this as a promotion of the contest that, there'll be prizes rewarded in cash and raspberries and all kinds of different systems and everything that we got set up for them adding to the code and different features. Now, one of the gentlemen said he was trying to get up here. He has a lot of skills and talent. And one of the things that he wants to do is a payment system, you know, that we can make a wallet out of it also. And we start using something like R in there that is your privacy and you're actually interfacing. Well, we just started, we're going to be starting it July 2nd. We did blackmarketfriday.info years ago. Davi and I were pushing that. And don't go giving Amazon, Walmart all your money. And, they pay you to haul off their 75-inch TV from Walmart that surveils you. On Black Market Friday, use alternative currency, alternative vendors, trade some silver for Craigslist and get the better version that'll last longer, antique for your grandkid, a wood block, whatever the hell, and don't, just giving Chinese a bunch of your money for their crap. And I go, we'll do that one day. Well, then we're going, it can't be a once a year thing. So starting July 2nd, it's blackmarketfridays.com or net. So Black Market Fridays, what are we doing with that? Well, we're going to start pimping and promoting the crap out of it, but we have to have somewhere to go where people have congregated their services and vending. Well, agris.market. That's what Mike set up last year. So agris.market has how many people on that?
We passed 200 a month or so back. And one interesting thing, on Black Market Friday, we broke the website for a little while. It was on the trip to DDoS protections because they just weren't expecting that kind of traffic. And so, but the cool thing is it also was up on IPFS and that cruised right through.
So, agris.market is already the mechanism and we're going to need to, I'm going to have to start forward in Black Market Fridays, if you're ready, because, and what are we looking for is people on Fridays to, just take a break, go get your stuff from the local market, peruse agris.market and find the embroidery screen printer of the whatever the hell. I spend a bunch of money on different printing and all kinds of stuff. I go there trying to find people that will, trade for crypto or hell, even if I send them a freaking credit card, whatever, at least they're a different vendor, And so this is already the, the skeleton for a lot of this. We've been developing for years. It is sitting there. The one thing that I think you can help with, Matt, is if you can demonstrate the business case for what you're doing, I can see that as a service a lot of guys are going to want.
Well, and, it's not developing,
probably wouldn't, but I'm glad you're there to do it.
Well, what's interesting is we've already been doing our own promotions, outside of the anarchist libertarian communities. And
dog, man, there's a lot of interest in what we have to offer. I have a top level cybersecurity company that came to me about a month ago and said, we want to resell ContentSec.
Nice.
Yeah. That, I mean, there's a lot of interest amongst normies because normies don't know anything about IPFS. All they can think of is Vimeo, you know, Daily Motion, BitChute. I mean, they're getting edgy if they're going to BitChute. So
yeah, no. And this is what we're looking to do. It's just got to be simple. It's a button. They don't give a crap. You know, IP whatever it works. I mean, you know, we just do it. So it has been, you know, like Thomas is here. And, you know, we're kind of not in the studio, so we're not able to, you know, put in everybody. But the main thing that we're trying to do is to make it simple. And when it was demonstrated to me, finally at the Greater Reset in Austin, Thomas set me down, and, you know, it's always complicated. You got to have in meetings and stroke-dash committee of whatever the hell. And I'm like, no, just show me. Well, then when I saw how easy what it did and it provided the hash, well, hell, that hash is, you know, that's what they can just post in with the other fields that are on there with the title and the summary and a link to the hash. Boom, done. You know, now you're saying, and Mike's saying that we could do an embed also. Well, hell, what are we waiting on? I mean, you know, we're done, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do we got to do to start interfacing with MadeSafe and what we're doing?
Yeah, if you want to see an example of that embed code for the videos, go to the Web3 Only podcast website. If you don't already have the link, the easy way to find it is go to agorist.market, click on IPFS in the main menu. Near the top, you'll see the IPFS website directory. And then go to the home page there where I post all the podcasts, and you'll see some videos embedded. Cool. And look at that last video that's embedded. I embedded that with JavaScript, and it works on it. Feeds off of IPFS. It works on IPFS. It's all IPFS.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I didn't know exactly whether we could, but I couldn't imagine that it would be that hard.
It's another one of those things Derek taught me. You know, I only ask Derek questions when I can't figure it out, and then he gives me a clue, and I figure it out. You know, he's been great teaching me this stuff.
Well, you know, one thing that Derek has done, he's hired a guy, Adam, that helps him up. He has a big warehouse that he, you know, operates out of and does all his, you know, bulldozing, painting, diesel, you know, breaking down, CNCing, whatever the hell he does, you know. And he's got, it's just an awesome location, and he needs help. And Adam, when we were at Red Pill, there was a doctor there, Dr. Weeks, that at dinner he goes, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'd want to share in my presentation tomorrow, but if I say this and this and this, they're going to deplatform me. They're going to cut my site. They're going to, like they've been threatening with, you know, Breitbart and Mike Adams and Nicola and everything. And they're voluntarily taking stuff down so they don't get attacked. I'm like, wimps. I mean, holy crap. I mean, if you're putting yourself in that position, you're already lost. So remember Brighteon, they were on our ass to go over there. And that was right when the Christchurch shooting happened in New Zealand. And so they were threatened so much, they took it down. And I'm going, well, what the hell I want to go over there for? You know, they can send you a letter and you're done. I'm like, screw that. So so what Weeks did, I said, don't worry about it. So I put it out. And then, of course, everybody, you know, Mike was like, oh, they got to go to freaking not WordPress. We're not going, never mind. I talked to Derek and he goes, boom. Within 24 hours, he had three sites and a YouTube channel all saved over an IPFS. He goes, now save. And I go, now, there it's done. It's saved. Do what you want. Say what you want. Boom. And it was a great example that inspired so many people. That one example, all of a sudden, Geobird's in, man. He said, let's do it. We understand now. So when we have use cases like that to where the threat of we're going to take your football from you and throw it in the dumpster, you know, no, they can't anymore. So the more services we can provide where not only do they have it's saved and accessible to everybody and anybody and faster, but because they just can't cut the full cord and you can platform them on these other sites also, it's over. And, you know, and we're done. And that's what we're going to need coming in this battle over the next freaking generation or whatever the hell's happening. I'm thinking things are going to go fast. And having the ability to store, see, to me, this is when I challenged the guys when we started all this. I go, look, geek talk, don't care. It is ones and zeros stored somewhere that I can put and it be accessible to everyone. Can we do that? Well, yeah, well, then do it. Seriously, you know, how hard is this? Well, it takes some technical ability, but we did it. So I'm going, okay, well, let's keep doing it. So if you can have that interface with these ones and zeros that are stored somewhere and replatform on these other traditional ones while we still have control of the data and we don't have to worry about it, then I'm all over it. Waiting on you now. So tell us what we need to do now. The coordinate, you can do it on the Pirate Box project, and then they got their own high-techy, not Ernie bugging them locations that I'm not allowed to go to, whatever they are. And so you guys, do that. And, so you guys do that. We'll use it as an example, and that'll be a marketing thing for you, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that sounds cool. And we'll just have to figure out where we're going to start. Are we going to start with something like Corbett?
Corbett. I think we do Corbett.
Yeah, I think Corbett's going to be a lot easier.
Well, Corbett is a steady flow. It's only, one or two videos a week.
It's all self-contained. There's not subdomains all over the place or anything like that.
Yeah, that was a problem with McCullough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so complicated. But the one thing with Corbett is that as we do this, he has a large audience, very popular and motivated and get it already. They're our crowd. And that's why he and I working together on the promotion of the Pirate Box. Once we say here it is and go, whether it's $100 or $500, there's going to be enough people. We're going to have a crap load of nodes out there with the Liberty Library already done and we're off and running. So that is not the problem. It is how we're setting it up to where Float, you and others like that can take the content, platform it, lead it back just to be an example. Then you take that and you start platforming it from IPFS on the library and all this other stuff. And we're done.
Yeah. And porting WordPress over to Gatsby, that's also huge. That's a big part of the challenge there too.
Just remember that Gatsby is using React. So you're going to probably have to do some JavaScript programming to get the files all laid out, and then it uses JSON files for the content.
That's not me. I'm not that guy, but it needs to be done.
This week. Can't you read more?
I'm kind of an entrepreneur type. I like to get things started, and that's what I'm doing with this Web3 only thing, is I'm trying to get a lot of more tech-oriented guys and younger guys with all these programming skills and stuff interested in defeating the man and putting websites out there on IPFS. And I'm writing the scripts and showing them how everything I do, I'm putting it out there saying, here's how I did it. And I expect people to come along and go, well, what the hell were you thinking, man? That's the hard way. Here's the easier way, and then I can just kind of dust off my hands and go, hey, thanks, man. Move on to the next project.
Well, this has been, kind of the same Thomas has run up against. He has a problem. You put it out there, and somebody's got a solution. One of the things, there was a listener on Declare Your Independence, with Ernest Hancock Telegram group that was just kind of lurking. He went over, and we were talking about it, and Mike needed a compression on when you pull the HTML over to, repopulate on IPFS a site. There would be all these videos that were, they were placed in there. Well, he was all freaked out because of these big sites. It was just, oh my God, the size of these things. Everybody's recording in 4G and, whatever, or in 4, whatever the hell, HD and everything. So he goes, we need to compress these files. So he had the script that went in there, compressed the files, and then reinserted it back into the HTML for the page, and you're done. And it's just, you just let people know what you need. And he's some big tech guy that, knows how, and I already wrote it, and here it is.
Ray's his name.
Yeah, Ray.
Okay. He jumped in there.
So this is, we have a lot of this, and when you start with providing the service that you are, of course you're going to get competition and somebody's going to want to, you know, do it better. What does Matt know, kind of crap. But, you know, whoever's there first wins, in my opinion. You know, so if
What I've seen is that a lot of people underestimate what exactly the problems are. And we've had 3 years lead time to figure out what most of the problems are. So, yeah, there'll be competition, but they're usually behind the game a bit.
Now they're going to be way behind if you make it go whir, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. You know, see, the one thing with Odyssey, you know, Jeremy and Library and so on, he was all excited about whatever he's doing. And of course, have insulation, he thought, until all of a sudden the SEC comes out. Oh, yeah, well, we don't like your token of we're coming up. You know, they got 15 gazillion ways to get you.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'm going, look, man, what do you think was going to happen? If they can, you know, they are.
Same exact thing they said did with the Crypto Six.
Yeah. You know, oh, and this is the one thing we'll end it, you know, here in a little bit. But I tell you, this is the one thing, my big giant epiphany over the last week. There was, we're taking a couple of weeks off because after he did his hopium thing, James Corbett and Brock are going to take a couple of weeks off. So it'd be like third Wednesday from now, we resume the show. But I was talking to him and I saw a video that he did with some other guy that was referencing his China and the New World Order video he did 7 years ago back in 14. And that and the dealing with the devil or some whatever, there was a different, and all of a sudden it clicked. The last pieces of the pie, I couldn't understand what and how they're, this is what's all of this conspiracy of the families from back in the day and them doing whatever. They've always been supporting collectivist governments. They support Lenin and Stalin, and you got industrialists from America giving all kinds of money and support to Hitler and even Mao. They had Yale in China. When Mao was a student, they gave him the newspaper, the student paper that they did, and he changed the format, went all socialist with support from Yale. And this was all the Skull and Bones guys for generations. But then I'm going, what the hell is going on? And then it dawned on me. Of course, James Gold, duh, then you get it. You know, I'm like, oh, man, you got to break it down for grandma here, man. What it is all these guys that want to rule the world know that they can't have individual liberties supported in a free market in Russia, China. God forbid you have a bunch of freedom-oriented Chinese with individual rights and a Declaration of Independence of the Paparola government to defend my rights kind of thing. That's what makes them enormously powerful. Very big, very rich middle class. So they were keeping everything down so that they could protect their markets and their monopolies, but they do want to have control of these governments. They need a collectivist type government so they can protect from competition. Well, now it's America's turn, and that the big threat to their plans all over has been a wealthy, entrepreneurial, leave me aloneism, rights oriented Declaration of Independence America. And now this last year, what did they do? They targeted the small businesses, the restaurants, mom and pa, but Walmart and Amazon's okay. I mean, you know, you can go to the big box stores, and I'm going, there is something. What, this doesn't make sense until now it makes sense. We are the next target. America and the middle class, we have to be eliminated. And that's what's going on. And if we can bypass that, if we can have our own communication, if we can't be censored, be platformed, and you can't communicate with your relatives, and you can share information that they don't want out there, which is one thing, the first thing they do is try and shut down communication. So us getting a head start on this and making it where it's already usable, but we can make it to where, like, you can help it interface with the traditional net, and we have people learning how to do that, how easy it is and cheap, and even, you know, like content safe. I'm thinking if using IPFS, you're not going to have to buy 5 billion servers, you know, to do the planet. It just works.
Right. And you know what's even freakier about this, Ernest, is that I've talked to a lot of people in a lot of different communities, and they're all having the same thoughts.
They're having the same
thoughts. They're all having the same thoughts.
Yeah, but they didn't do it. You know, this. See, I
no, these guys are actually doing it, Ernest. I've seen them build other communities, but they're not doing it quite the same way that you're doing it,
if
which is good.
take it down, then right? I'm interested. If you have, well, we're in a different, and we kind of put our servers and mirrored it from another country of a whiz-bang satellite or whatever, they got iron cannons. I mean, I'm going, look, this is not going to stop. They are not going to allow you to freely free speech, and the First Amendment is the target. And the reason that we got the Second Amendment was to protect the first one. You know, they're going to make you do it. And I'm going, you guys, I don't want to fight them. I just want to be able to avoid them. I just want to ignore them. I want to do so. Agorist.market. So all the little things that we've been doing with Black Market Friday and Black Market Fridays and, agorist.market and crypto integration. And the only thing about crypto, is that, especially Bitcoin, might as well just be a surveillance tool. But, they can't stop the transaction. That's what's different. Oh, we see you. Yeah, but you can't stop it, asshole. So, this is where I'm thinking that we're on the edge of a big, giant explosion. And people are going to go, what happened? And I didn't even know that IPFS until like a year ago was part of Filecoin. I didn't even know it because I wasn't paying attention. I didn't care, and then. But what I was asking for is I go, we need to have a mechanism by which you can store ones and zeros, disseminate it, and it not be on DNS, blah, 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 blah. And then Derek comes to me a few years ago and he says, well, this IPFS thing, I've been looking at it. This is what I think you're talking. I go, no, what the hell are we waiting on? So we did Pirates Without Borders and IPFS. We started working on it. We started talking about it, started encouraging it. We did the the sites and the guys getting involved. And in the last year, it's gone really fast. And the one, I wouldn't say a missing piece, but it is for a lot of people, is the ability for them to use IPFS, but still have it available through their profiles on these various different traditional platforms. And even ones like Library and Float, Mines and everything that think they're, we're insulated and we're different in our policy. I keep hearing that all the time. Or our policy. I don't give a crap about your policy. It's your capability. Can you or can you not, censor someone? Well, yeah, if we have, you're going to get the letter. I mean, you get a subpoena from and you thou shalt and you can't. And then if you don't comply, then they arrest you. We got the Crypto Six. I mean, this is exactly what's going on. We have to make it to where they can't. And somebody was telling me they're going to be able to get me the guy Lavabit. He's going to come on the show. Because when they went to him with the Patriot Act, you can't even tell anybody that we're having you give us Snowden's private key of whatever, he just finally, and we shut it down. Well, now you didn't do what we really wanted, and you know it, and we're going to get you because you closed your business. I mean, it's just, this is going to happen. It's freaking going to, I'm trying to convince people of where we're at and the mindset that the bad guys have. I'm tired of wasting my time even talking to them. I go, look, we're just doing it. You want to do it, and don't do it, don't care. Because the liberty community has to be the philosophy, and the very thing that's under attack is what my big epiphany has been. It's 1984. They want to, the newspeak is to change words and not provide opportunities so you can't even contemplate. You can't even think about freedom as a solution. You don't have the vocabulary for it. It doesn't exist. You're not even allowed to think down those roads. And if you don't have the capacity to be able to share these ideas without them, whack-a-moling it from Google going in and deleting files all the time, I don't know what the hell to tell you. And when we had the big benefit and people really started to get it, was when Plandemic came out that they did with Dr. Mikovits at 23 minutes of Fauci's a scumbag. And when they did that, they were whacking that thing down. So we took and put Plandemic on IPFS. And then this is where you would come in. We had the only way people knew where that hash was by searching Plandemic or, God forbid, Plandemic IPFS, and it was a page on Freedom's Phoenix. Well, they go there. Well, finally, they had a file to seed and reload all the time on everywhere, and they had somewhere it was stable and you could download the file. So when we promoted that, within a month or two, 1 billion with a B, 1 billion downloads of that file. And I'm going, you feel me now? Do you get it now? So since then, everybody's going, okay, I get it. Yeah, it's about time. So that's where we're going. How are you going to be able to interface with the guys? You're just going to do it on a Pirate Box project group and kind of, we can set something up or communicate. Yeah. Let's do it.
Somebody join me to that private one that Ernie's not on. What's that one?
I don't know. They won't tell me.
Yeah, it's our secret check.
Oh, okay. You can send that to me in Telegram.
Yeah, Mike will get you hooked up.
I'll get you invited right after this.
Yeah, no, I'd be spending all the time asking what all the words mean. I'll be like, what the hell are you guys talking about? You know, because my thing is I don't really care. I go, what, is there a test later? Do I got to, like, you know, do I got a code or something? I don't care. I want it to do this. And that's the only role that I've had in that. And I'm glad Mike's involved because Mike Swatek, he's you know, way down that road of decentralized, of it's got to be really decentralized. So when we bought R, it took a day and a half to be able to freaking do it because he wanted to make sure people knew how to do it without KYCing or, you know, anybody knowing. And it goes from here to here to here to here, and finally, boom, I got it on my wallet. And I'm like, cool, you know. So that is, you know, Mike's the guy to deal with this, but he is definitely anti-WordPress, where Derek is trying to also make that interface. And I'm for doing both, but, you know, just make it go where, man.
Yeah, I guess if WordPress didn't have to recreate every page every time you access it, I'd be fine with it. The reasons I originally didn't like it is I felt restricted. I'm an old HTML coder. I mean, I started doing websites way before they were cool with code. And when I got my hands on WordPress, it was just way too restricting. You know, I didn't like it. And now I have another reason not to like it, because it's making it difficult to put websites on IPFS, particularly big websites. It's doable, but it can take a long time. But now I'm excited. Now that I know about Gatsby, it's like, oh man, we got to get this going, you know, because we don't know when it's going to happen. You know, I'm sure they have the list already together of all the domains that are going to turn off one night and what servers are going to go take out as a mop-up operation on all the few static IPFS or static IP addresses that exist out there these days. And if they're just waiting for that moment when it benefits them the most to quiet that dissent. And you don't know when it's going to be. But when it happens, it's going to be overnight and everybody's going to be shocked, because it's amazing how many people I talk to, they go, oh, well, they'd never do that.
Hell, they won't.
Right, yeah. So,
all right. So this is, we're sitting pretty good on this, Matt. I think you got a beat on where we are. There's a lot of other things that we've accomplished too, but
cool.
You know, the main thing is that we have the right mission, we have the tools, and now we're just stitching them all together. And there is a role for you. I knew that once we got to this point that we'd be needing to have another conversation and work on this together, because this is what's going to happen. There is going to be the purging that you're talking about, and they're already mapping out the VPNs with deep dives on the data that's going through 65,000 ports, that they're mapping them all out, and there's only a few that they use for tunneling with the VPNs. And once they realize what it was, you shut them down. You know, Rob Braxman is going, what the hell? He was blaming the server farm. He was blaming all guys. He's going, they actually freaking went and did the port, you know, the throttling. You sons of bitches.
Deep packet inspection on the main trunk lines.
Deep packet inspection. So we're in this battle. I don't know what the vulnerabilities will be for IPFS and how it's done, but if you're bypassing the DNS system to where, because I remember, maybe you can help me out with this, Matt. I remember back in 1993, 1994, and when we found out that you could go and get, the World Wide Web started getting going, and everybody's going out getting FedEx and U-Haul and Madonna dot whatever the hell, and buying them for $35 a thing, knowing that somebody's going to want them later, and then they say, oh, you did it wrong, and you're not allowed, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, there was a guy that in Silicon Valley or something that was running the DNS that got paid $135,000 a year for just keeping a list of whatever. And I go, oh, that guy, and he's dead. And it goes to Geneva and ICANN, STAR, all this other crap. And I'm going, of course it did, because they wanted to have control of the IP addresses that go to, you know, the addressing that goes to the names that you buy. Well, if we're on that system and they control that, you're done. Whenever they want to flip a switch, it is over. So we need to beat that. That's where the IPNS thing starts coming in. And then how do we get it out? You do a web page. It's going to be QR codes. You know, it has to be QR codes, man. If I'd known about QR codes in the 90s,
they had those back then. I've been a real butthead. All kinds of stuff I do, so, and which we have been doing, and using that to, you know, like we have a newspaper, and any hyperlink on an actual printed newspaper, you can't interface with the internet. We any hypertext thing, we have a corresponding QR code, so it makes your printed newspaper interactive with the internet from your device while you're sitting there at Denny's. You know, I'm going just to demonstrate that. We did. We got a bunch of papers we did that with, you know, newsprint. So I'm going, I am for demonstrating this. And once we already got a lot of people's attention, and it is working, but the interface with the other platforms for now, and I'm hoping that these other platforms, like with Float, they'll start, you know, interfacing with IPFS, and the content providers, and they'll see that it's a good business decision. You know, Kingsley called me Friday where they had the Shitcoin conference in Miami, and all of a sudden, you know, he's like starting to see to differentiate Float and their capability and what they offer, and their Float token will go up in value if they can demonstrate how they're using IPFS with content providers so it can't be censored. That is what differentiates you from all these other social media, all these other tokens, to have the where your content is safe. You know, it, you know, content safe. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a business to be done.
Yep.
All right, man, we're good. And we're getting wind and got all kinds of noise going in the microphone. But, you know, I'm glad we had this conversation. And I just wanted, you know, while we're up here, all the guys, we haven't even got together yet, you know. And we just started setting up. This is the first day of us, you know, kind of putting out, getting the bugs out. But I wanted to definitely talk to you so that you understood just how close we are and that you can add into this. And you start working with the guys, let's do it. And we'll do, you know, Freedom Stance, Show, Pirate, whatever. But we'll focus on Corbett as an example because he's a good example. And the fact that he has WordPress just pisses off Mike. But we'll get – and his big reason, I'm talking to James about that, he said – because he gets so much benefit and content and interaction with the Corbetteers and his supporters that can interact by leaving comments. And that comment section, that interactivity with the servers for that, we have to provide that for him to make the full conversion.
Yeah, so what I see for him is, first of all, his primary site, if we can move it over to Gatsby or port to Gatsby or something, so he still has that comments feature on his domain name site, that would be great. But also we need a backup, which is probably going to have to be a parallel system, like a good private messaging system, like maybe Briar or something, where his people can still communicate with one another, have the comments, have the open source investigations, but it's kind of off on the side. And then if the domain name gets shut down, that other mechanism can't be stopped. And then every time he publishes to IPFS, he just copies the latest thread over into the latest publishing on Corbett Report on IPFS. And now he's got his comments and everything else. And then until that day of the Great Purge happens, he's got it also there on with the Gatsby to make it easier, you know, for him, especially during the transition.
Cool.
So well, lots of stuff to think about, Matt. Any other questions you got?
No, at the moment, we'll just continue this over in Telegram.
And it's contentsafe.co?
Co, that's correct.
Contentsafe.co. People want to, you know, check out what they're doing over there. And you know, here it comes. I didn't, you know, the audience here, I'm sorry about the wind noise and everything, but and it's starting to pick up, man. We're going to lose our canopy. All right, so we got to get going. Matt, thank you very much. You know, I'm excited about, we'll be checking in here a month or two or, you know, where we're at on this. And when you're ready to start offering and we're pimping the blackmarketfridays.com and people starting to pull away from the traditional of everything and Liberty Community rocks and they can suck it, you know, I'm all over it. So we're building it, and thanks for participating.
Well, thank you for having me today, and I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks, Matt. Peace, brother.
Yeah, peace.